the greatest city in the world. This is Tanya and Steve.
We get up, we get dressed, waking up Newcastle's best, live and free, Triple M.
Monday.
Yes, it is.
That's how I am.
Start of a huge week.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
There's so much going on this week. We'll get to that later. But how's everybody's weekends?
All right.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Full on. Halloween, all that biz.
Yep.
Parties.
Beautiful photos with the kids.
Yep.
Trick-or-treating.
Awesome time trick-or-treating. It was still pretty busy in my neck of the woods. So, no COVID in Redhead. There's about 3 to 4, maybe 500 kids walking the streets.
Yeah. Wow.
Mate. Yeah, no joke. Hey, half the school, I reckon.
Jeez. It's official. There's no COVID in Australia.
Yeah.
Ask Scotty Morrison.
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
You know, transmission-wise.
Yeah. Did you get any knocks?
No, I was like you.
Not one.
And you guys had stuff ready to go and everything.
And I was going to say, I can't remember what I am.
A Leo?
No, it starts with D.
Single dad?
Diabetic, thank you.
Diabetic.
Oh, God, it is Monday.
That was a funny guessing game.
Well, the other word starting with D, I got called a lot too.
It's going to be a long week.
It's going to be a very long week. I've got a fridge full of chocolates.
Same.
Yeah, and neither of us can eat them.
Yeah.
No, you both can't eat them, oh my goodness.
It was very quiet Saturday night in my house. Well, I had all the kids over for a party, but no knocks.
No, and people were commenting on social media saying, no, smashed it like Tyers Hill, smashed a Boorall.
Yeah.
So it's different pockets.
Absolutely.
It's
really
pockets,
is.
Definitely.
But you know it was beautiful, and I nearly called you, Ryze, to bring the kids up because Saturday morning at Charlestown Square, they had this Halloween party in the centre court. There were hundreds and hundreds of kids beautifully dressed up. Their parents got into it too.
Yep.
It was us there starting to cry.
Ryze,
it was just beautiful.
Ryze, let me complete this story.
What?
I get a text from Tanya. Hey, you want to see it here at Charlestown Square? Kids all dressed up, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah?
Tears, I'm nearly crying. I want a baby.
I did too.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I want a baby.
Now, I gave some time to my response. And my response was wide-eyed emoji, let's start with a puppy.
Yes, that's a good idea.
I did. He wasn't on board because we were furiously texting and then it went quiet and I'm thinking, oh, so he doesn't think I should get a baby.
Well, I've learned over the years, you don't immediately say to a woman,
great idea.
Check your age.
Oh, no, you don't.
When it comes to having a baby, so I thought, let's just softly, gently warm up with a puppy.
Oh, I told Locke even. He's like, Mum, I'm 20.
Yeah.
Do you want a baby brother or baby sister, Locke?
Yeah,
no. No, thanks, Mum.
I just want to point out, a baby is not one of your hobbies.
Okay. All right.
What?
Far out.
I know.
Yeah, rain on my parade, won't you?
I know, I felt bad. I should have just said, why not, I'll text Michael. Go for it. Go and have yourself a baby.
Oh, but they were so beautiful, these kids. Even a whole gang of Ghostbusters adults.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, the parents get into it now. The Halloween is changing.
Thank God.
It's actually, the adult Ghostbusters, they weren't Halloween. They were just going into the computer shop.
Oh, welcome to Monday, everyone.
No, the
JV.
Apple? EB Games?
We'll be here all day, guys. I couldn't even remember diabetic.
Time zone?
Doesn't matter.
Dink Smith? Retrovision?
Now we've actually done Charlestown Square. Now it's a big shop that has
Maya?
Shut up!
David Jones?
What are you, Van Halen on?
Sarah Westfield.
Shut up, I want to listen to Van Halen.
It's Tanya and Steve. This is Triple M Morning.
Zing!
That's the shop at Charlestown Square.
Finally.
We got there.
It only takes me 5 minutes, Dave, to come with me. It's a struggling Monday, mate.
Oh, I'm with you, Steve.
You have the same, mate?
Yeah, a little bit, mate. Look, it's been a few years now that we've been warned about these Takata airbags and how dangerous they are. Well, it's been revealed there are 1,500 cars getting around the Hunter right now that still have these airbags fitted. The ACCC is again urging drivers to check if their car is affected and get it repaired. It's free. All you have to do is go to ismyairbagsafe.com.au and enter your number plate. Car makers have until next year to ensure all affected vehicles have had their airbags replaced, but there are still clearly thousands on our roads around the country. The concern with these airbags is a design defect which may cause too much explosive force, and they've been linked to 30 deaths worldwide, had hundreds of injuries. So they're a death trap, essentially. And, yeah, crazy to think 1,500 on our roads locally.
Awful.
Let's get it fixed.
I was watching a comedian the other day, and he made a good point. We don't think of it now. But he was talking about when they first come out, remember, it was only the driver that had an airbag? When they first popped, just the driver, and he made the point of, you're in an accident, boof, and you come out and go, wow, they're great, my family!
Yeah.
Like, we didn't think about it at the time, and now we've got them coming out and blowing up for no reason.
That's it. Now, a fairly major report is out today revealing just how much climate change is going to cost Australia financially. Modelling from Deloitte is warning climate change will cost us $3.4 trillion over the next 50 years, while nearly 900,000 jobs would go. That's if we fail to slow the rate of warming. Now, that's the impact is the equivalent of a COVID pandemic every year by 2070. So some pretty pretty harsh figures there.
Yeah.
Farmers, manufacturers, miners and tourism businesses would be the hardest hit. Now, generally speaking, those who think climate change is a hoax and are reluctant to do anything about it say it's because we should protect jobs over the environment and you know, want to keep coal mines going, I guess. But this report's basically saying if we do that, well, the financial cost is going to be far worse. So think long term. We need to do something. Will it change? Will the government do anything?
Doubt it.
Well,
especially with COVID. It's like all big companies now. They're using COVID as an excuse to not to do anything.
Yeah.
So, anyway, big report out today.
Yeah.
And just 2 days to go until the US election, and Americans are getting in early to cast their vote. More than 90 million have already had their say. That's about 65% of the total turnout last time round. And that points to an even larger turnout this time. Both leaders are out giving their final pitches. Donald Trump is today in North Carolina. Joe Biden's in Philadelphia. Trump is actually doing 5 rallies today. That's how fast he's going in the final stretch. Polls will open tomorrow night our time, and we'll start getting some results from around just before lunchtime on Wednesday. So Wednesday afternoon, we should know what way it's going to go. But
it's interesting, though. You have no idea.
No one
does, because look what happened with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
They can, you know, they can tell us all they like that he's the expert or she's the expert, but we won't know.
No.
In Joe's defence, though, I hear after his afternoon nap, he's going to have a rally out in the front of his lawn. I keep saying to Tanya, if Biden gets in, we're just going to have another 4 years of jokes.
Yes, and it'll be a just one term. You know, I can't see him going the 2 terms, 8 years. But look, no matter who wins tomorrow or this week, they're expecting major protests. So even though we can't really travel to the US at the moment, DFAT has upgraded its advice to say do not travel because of potential civil unrest. So buildings in major cities are being boarded up. They're expecting chaos over there, and I'm guessing certainly if Trump wins, there'll be major protests.
What happened to America?
Land of the free.
The beacon of, you know,
it's
all fallen over.
Trump drove it. You know, he drove the
division and
cleaned the swamp, and he created it, and he's still going.
It's a mess. Absolute mess there.
Okay.
Anyway.
Thank you, Dave.
Happy week.
Thanks, Dave.
Climate change, killer airbags.
Funny you say that, Dave. First headline I read was civil unrest, possible civil war for America. And I went, there we go, morning.
Yeah.
Now, remember Friday, early in the show, Dave, our news editor, was telling us about 16 Psyche, one of the largest objects in the asteroid belt.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, we were focusing on the fact that it's worth $10 quadrillion.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we were fascinated by this. So here's a little bit of a reminder of what we were doing on Friday.
NASA is going to launch a mission to this asteroid in 2022. Yeah. It'll get there in 2026 to have an even closer look.
Bruce Willis will be flying that.
That blows my mind, though. Still space talk when you say launch in 2022 and it'll get there in 4 years.
I know.
Doesn't that blow your mind?
Oh, it's a long way away, but yeah.
How does it keep fuel? Like, where does it stop for a refuel?
Well, there's a petrol station just past the moon, Tanya.
Right.
It's a self-serve.
Yeah, that sounded legit, Tanya and Steve.
Well, it's on the left.
Is it?
On your way past the moon there.
I hope there's a big sign miss it.
There is. It has a couple of that. In 2,000 million Ks, it's your last stop for petrol.
Well, it bugged me all weekend, as you well know.
Yeah.
And so we thought we'd delve into this a little bit deeper with someone who doesn't talk like we do.
This is a bit fancy. I dare anyone listening right now, you go shuffle around some other breakfast shows a bit later, you will not hear an astrophysicist.
No, you won't.
He is a professor of astrophysics at the University of Sydney. A very much learned professor is our Tim Bedding, and he's with us now. Morning, Tim.
Hi, Tanya. How are you?
Really
hey, Tim.
Well. Now, hey, Tim. Steve. Now, you remember who you're talking to.
Yeah.
You've got to dumb it down for us this morning.
I actually believe Bruce Willis will pilot that space rocket. So that's where we're at, right?
Explain to us how these things work. Leaving in 2022 and it can travel around for 4 years. How does that work, Tim?
Well, it's a long way. Absolutely right. It's a long way. But once you get going out in space, you don't need your rockets on because Newton's first law, anything that's moving will keep moving at a constant speed if there's nothing pushing it. So you launch with a big rocket to get it away from the Earth, and then basically you turn everything off and it just coasts.
Okay.
And so it doesn't need to refuel until it gets there. It needs to slow down.
Right.
See, ridiculously, I kind of said that, and I only learned that from watching Apollo 13.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah,
you know, on We're that trajectory, and it's more about just steering it in the right direction, isn't it?
It is. I remember Tom Hanks saying, we're going to put Sir Isaac Newton in the driving seat.
There you are.
So, Tim, when you say coasting, how fast in k's per hour is it coasting?
Well, that's a good question. Off the top of my head, I would have to check. But let's see, it took about 4 days to get to the moon. So we're talking tens of thousands of kilometres an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Not kidding, Tanya. Not kidding. Can you imagine how much your hair would blow if you wound down the window?
I know. And so, okay, this slows to get there to land, but then what happens? The burners can burn again in 4 years' time? We know that that will happen for sure?
Yeah, so one thing I just learned, thanks to Google, is it's actually got a solar-powered engine. So it's not using sort of conventional fuel to slow itself down. It's using solar power, which powers a little thruster. But yeah, it'll operate it very for I'm sure many months as it approaches the asteroid, and it'll gradually slow down. It's not going to land, but it's going to go in orbit around the asteroid. If it didn't turn the rockets on, it would just keep going. It would be flying by, which is what some of the early missions did. They went past Jupiter and Saturn, and they just kept going. But they want to slow down and orbit this thing for a few years and study it in detail.
Wow.
Okay, so just going, righto, they're just going to go around it and things like that. Okay, so can I ask you in a Star Trek-y kind of thing, or even Star Wars, warp speed, is that a reality?
Sadly not.
Bugger.
At least not at the moment. Sorry about that.
Tim, how much is floating around up there? Do we know?
You mean other stuff?
Yeah, like what you just said, when these missions first started, there's things that we couldn't have had returned to Earth. So is there a lot of other things from back in the day that are still roaming around out there that we have no idea where they are now? We've lost contact?
That's a good question. So there's a lot of stuff orbiting the Earth, which they do worry about. I mean, you would have seen that movie, Gravity, the one where the spacecraft...
Yep.
Yeah, that is a worry. But out there, once you get out of the Earth, there's not many. There's probably a few dozen spacecraft off in different directions, launched by Americans and mostly, and also some Russian and other ones. But space is really, really big. And so once you get out there, the chances of running into something are pretty small.
Although I did hear the other day, Tim, that there's a North Korean astronaut that's still circling the moon because he wasn't told how to get back. And so every time you go past, he just kind of waves for some help.
I'm not sure where you get your news from. But one other cool thing is this spacecraft is going to go via Mars. Not hit Mars, but it's going to use Mars for a gravity assist so it gets there a bit quicker.
It's so like it's a slingshot.
Mars.
So it's like a
exactly.
slingshot effect. Go around and then shoot off again.
Amazing.
And Matt Damon will be down there waving at him while he's growing his potatoes.
I love that Tim's on board.
I know. Tim, thank you. We know that, you know, this is not your usual conversation over breakfast. It's a little bit more highbrow, so we do appreciate your time.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Tanya and Steve.
Good on you, Tim.
There's Tim. He's an astrophysicist, professor.
I tell you what, I wasn't far off just for movies.
Well,
actually, we'll see. Apollo 13 was on fact, so but you know, not so much Star Wars and everything, but it's true. That's that you just go around and it just zooms you off, just like when we used to roller skate.
Yeah, okay.
You know, when
you just need one big push to start.
You slingshot each other and you just keep going.
Okay.
Didn't have a chance to ask him if you've got a flat battery. Oh, bugger. Can't get back.
Going to bring something up because I'm getting tired of ducking and weaving the question.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, even at the supermarket, people will say, how's the you know, the bike riding, motorbike riding going?
The what, Tanya?
The motorbike riding.
The lady rider? Good on you, Ross. It has been some time since we brought up the lady rider.
Mm. Because, and I say, look, you know, not doing it as much, blah, blah, blah. The truth is, I'm scared. That's the truth. Because I had that little accident downstairs here, I'm actually not feeling confident getting back in the saddle.
Good.
Why?
Because I want you to sell the bike and never do it again.
I want to do it.
No.
But I'm just, I'm struggling to come to grips with the nervousness, the fear of being so exposed. And like what scared me, the fact that when I came off and the bike went on top of me, I couldn't get out from under it.
Yeah.
Like it had to be picked up off me.
Yes.
You know, like once they fall on you a certain way, you can't wriggle.
No.
No.
So curious. I'm not alone there, I'm sure.
Oh, no.
There's motorbike accidents happening all the time, sadly.
Yep.
But how do you actually get back in the saddle? What is it you tell yourself? How do you do that?
Well, it's funny.
Because if you're scared, I don't think you should get on it.
It's funny you say about saddle, because I had the same, but with a horse.
Yeah, okay.
So I horse ridden twice.
Yeah.
And come to a horrific crash, badly sprained ankles. Yeah. I come off.
Yeah.
I come off horses.
Yeah.
And so I fixed it.
You didn't ride a horse again.
Correct. When would you like to put your bike on eBay?
Well, I don't want to because I really want to do it. Well, and like,
yes, but there are some things we can't do in life, mate. You haven't got whatever it takes to ride a motorbike.
I have.
No, you haven't.
You've got one advice for Tanya.
Oh, rubbish. You haven't got any skill at all on a motorbike.
Let's open the phone lines.
That's not helping. That's not helpful.
Let's not listen
because
to Steve.
I'm aware. I cannot ride a horse, therefore I don't.
Right.
Well, 4942 1029, we're going to open the phone lines because I think there's a lot of people out there that have probably overcome similar hurdles.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, you know, riding a bike or getting back on the horse. They might have some advice for you.
If at first you don't succeed, give up, go home, watch TV.
I don't think that's the saying. But anyway, Shane's on the phone.
Shane, have you got any advice?
Oh, look, Tanya, I've ridden motorbikes since I was 5 years old and it frightens the life out of you the first time you fall off.
Yep. Yeah.
The best thing you can do is get Michael to take you out to somewhere where there's a big open area and just ride around nice and gently until you get your confidence back.
Yep.
That's the only way you can do it.
Okay. I've been over the Steel River a few times, and I feel really good over there. But the thought of actually
going
out into the traffic, because Mike said, okay, you're doing this well. Go home now. I'll meet you at home. And it's like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I've got a mental block.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you've got to gain your confidence back because you've had a near miss, you know.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
thing's fallen on top of you, and that frightens the life out of you the first time. And, you know, we don't bounce. They do.
Yeah.
The bikes will bounce. We don't.
Mm.
But it's just a matter of getting some confidence. Keep going out around over the Steel Bridge. Just keep doing it until you get your mojo back. You won't take long.
You've got a very calming voice, Shane.
Yeah.
I feel almost like I could do it now.
Well, what I should do is pick my motorbike up and come and pick you up and take you for a little ride around somewhere. And just you follow me around nice and casual and gentle. And look. I ride my bike most weekends like a lot of guys do that own them, and that's why we do it, is it's so relaxing.
Yeah.
And, you know, the traffic is daunting at first, but you can't put yourself out in the elements of, you know, the mainstream traffic in Newcastle straight up. That will frighten the life out of you.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
You need to go and casually ride around and just gain your mojo. And then, and look, 12 months' time, you look back and go, wow, I almost gave this away, and how much fun is it?
Thank you, Shane.
Good on you, Shane.
Shane.
Thanks for the great advice.
Shane, I can't tell you how wrong you are, my friend. She shouldn't come within 2 kilometres of a motorbike, and don't be selfish. If she does have a crash and die, I'm out of a breakfast partner.
Is he in the wheel, Tanya?
No.
Oh, that's all right. That's all he was worried about. So yeah, I think he had preconceived.
Yes, you know, and actually that's a good point. Chat makes a very good point. If I could be executive of your will, I think you should get back on that bike.
Chris, what do you say?
Well, I've ridden horses all my life. I've been thrown from many of them and stuff like that. So, similar scenario. But with horses, they can sense your fear of getting back on.
Yeah.
Bikes can't.
Yeah.
So, you've just got to get back on the saddle. As the last call said, get your confidence back. And you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Good on you, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks. That's great advice.
Gary? Hello, Gary.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, not bad.
You just need to learn how to ride slowly.
Oh, no, she rides very slowly, Gary.
No. As in to be able to, like, brake, accelerate and do it all slowly, turn, like, complete turning in a small area.
Yeah.
I mean, doing the Ride It Right course, you would have concentrated on that.
Yes, you're right.
And you need to actually get that down pat, because once you've got that, you've pretty much got everything.
All right. Thank you, Gary.
Good on you, Gary.
Mm. What about...
turned a bit bloody serious and sad.
Well, yeah. It's helpful, though. Jen.
No, I'm helpful.
The motto is to keep going, though. That's, yes. That's what I'm hearing so
they
far.
They don't care
keep
about
going.
Your welfare.
Yeah, I know you care. Jen, what do you have any advice?
Well, I feel your pain, Tanya. So 9 years ago, I took my hubby fishing,
mm-hmm.
and we had the boat on the back. And because I can't reverse with the trailer on, he reversed the boat into the water, got it off. I've got in to drive it out, and I thought that I was in drive, but I was in reverse,
oh, no.
And put my foot on the accelerator, and I ended up in the water and nearly drowned.
Oh,
so, and me, you know, like I'm a big girl, and I had to literally get from the passenger side. From the driver's side to the passenger side and out the window. And just as I got out, the car went fully the water.
Oh, my God.
Now, Jen, can we establish from this you've never been fishing since?
Not at all.
There you go.
There you go, Tanya. Correct. No more from Jen. That's exactly right. Once you have an accident, give it up. Go home, watch TV.
And if all else fails, new hobby. I think Scott's got some advice as well, potentially.
Oh, we've tried
lucky
this, Scott.
Love, Scott.
Hey, Tanya, how you going?
Yeah, good. What do you want to say?
Well, I've got some... It's pretty simple, actually. Like, when my four-year-old kept falling off his bike and didn't have any confidence, we put some training wheels on.
They were on, Scott, when she went over.
Oh, well, she's definitely got problems then.
I wish there was training wheels for bikes.
Oh, that'd be a good idea,
it would
actually.
Be a great... I think no. They're called a quad bike, though.
They are, mate. They're called a trike.
Or a trike.
You see, you ride fine
yeah.
as long as it's a straight line.
I know, that's so
all
true.
We need to do,
and no hills.
You get a trailer. You get Michael to drop you off at the M1 and send you on your way. He follows you, and then we're down. As long as it's a straight line, Tanya's fine.
Good thinking. Mm. I could easily drive to Queensland as long as you rode it to Bulladilla for me.
Totally easy, mate.
Because
just
I
send
don't
you
want
on
to
way.
Be in the traffic.
Well, you don't have to be. No, M1, all the way up.
Yeah.
And there might be one little turn there left. You just get someone to do it for you. Hey, you'd be proud of me on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Held the big Halloween party. BJ's mates came over. Mm-hmm. You'd be proud of me.
Why?
I went in there and went, all right, kids, have we got any intolerances? We got any allergies? Oh. I checked.
Good boy.
I thank you.
Yeah.
A very responsible father thing to do.
Well, because there's EpiPens. There's all sorts of things you've got to worry about now.
Who knows? Didn't even drink.
Oh.
What?
Wow.
It was a Saturday night.
So
team.
Responsible.
Honestly.
Yep.
Mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. BJ said, you were right, Dad. I went, oh, it's all right, man. I'm just sober.
So were there any?
Well, there was one. And he said, I'm toast intolerant. And I went, oh, okay, well, don't worry about it.
Hang on. He's what?
Toast intolerant.
What
so,
does that mean?
Right.
Well, I
must
don't
be
know.
Gluten
this one.
Free.
I just kept going. And
yeah.
Then I said, you know, I don't want pizza base. I'm going to worry about that. So, no, you'll be right, mate.
Yep.
And I came in, I had chocolates, you know, obviously, for the lollies and chocolates. Yep. And then we had pizza, loads of cheese and everything. And mm-hmm. then we had ice cream to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
And this one kid wasn't eating much. I thought, oh, well, that's okay. There's no toast there. And I was making jokes the whole night going, oh, here's some toasted chocolate and here's some toasted, you know.
Yeah.
Wasn't getting many laughs.
Toast intolerant.
Just wasn't getting the laughs from the kids I expected. A few eye rolls and things like that. Anyway, what happened was the end there when I said, what's the deal with your toast intolerant, mate, BJ? And he said, Dad, Daddy's lactose intolerant. You misheard him.
Oh, that makes sense.
Lactose. You didn't think to go toast intolerant, never heard of it?
The world we live in now, mate.
There's so many intolerances, who knows?
The world we live in now, you know what, I didn't.
No.
I actually
God.
Didn't. I just
toast
thought...
Toast intolerant.
I can't think of a single thing that's going to be toasted tonight. You should be right, champ.
So with that,
chocolate,
he had cheese, chocolate, ice cream.
Ice cream.
Did he eat it all?
Oh, he's dead now.
Oh, definitely. He's been growing up at
least. He had a seizure and, of course, I didn't know. I couldn't read the directions on the EpiPen, so he's gone. But it was Halloween, so I delivered him in a body bag.
Oh,
no, he didn't need a thing.
Oh, that's
God
good. He
him.
Knows. He knows what to do.
Yeah, he does. He's all over it. Mm. I just thought the whole night, I'm getting eye rolls. I'm not getting the laughs.
Did they know that you had misheard?
Yeah.
Oh, they were. Oh, so it was jokes on Dad.
All right, Tanya. That's not how I like to look at it. Okay. But yes.
And you can't even use the excuse you were drunk.
Thank you, Rising. You know, that's so true. They just sat in the room going, and BJ going, don't worry, he's a silly old fool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, just keep up the toast intolerant thing. He's an idiot. My dad's an idiot.